Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey Bills fans, welcome to this recap episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host Nate, and we're here to discuss the Bills losing to the New England Patriots 16-10 in New Era Field, squandering a terrific defensive performance. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts John and Mike. Fellas, how you doing?
Hey Nate.
John, how are you? Are you okay? Do I have to call your wife tonight to make sure nothing bad's going to happen?
No, I'm good. I'm fine.
Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Like, it was a tough loss, but in it to the end, but not many teams can make the Pats. Consensus, everybody's consensus, number one team in the NFL, right? Defending Super Bowl champs, and the Bills made them look mediocre, right? It made Brady look like a backup quarterback, and it was great.
You made him look like Eli Manning.
Except for the final outcome. We were in it till the very last drive, till the last play. In the last 20 years, how many times can we say that when we're playing the Pats and Brady for it to come down to the end and to be exciting? Like, this is a coming out party for the Bills. This is awesome. At the beginning of the season, we would take 3-1 all day long and to play the Pats like we did.
Yeah, I forget. What's Brady's record against the Bills?
16-18 in Buffalo, better than any starting Bills quarterback. More wins. That's very depressing.
So same old, same old. Gotcha. All right, what's next? Hey,
John, come on. It is not the same old, same old. We didn't lose like 44-3.
Yeah, it was definitely not same old, same old. I don't know if I walk away with it, though, in a positive light. I always thought, so if you were to tell me at the beginning of this game, if you were going to lose to the Pats 16 or by 6 points, rather, like, you'd be like, I can see that happening, right? That's very reasonable. The Pats were favored by 7. I thought the Bills were probably going to cover. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't know if this offense can do it. The Pats have a really good defense. And it was exactly like that. The Pats have a great defense, and they stopped the Bills. And they got a touchdown on special teams. And Josh Allen looked bewildered out there. He didn't know what he was. He wasn't sure when he should pass, when he should stay in the pocket, when he should run. And it was just, I don't know, it was a rough game by the offense all around, especially in the first three and a half quarters or so, and you know, even towards the end. I shouldn't even give Matt Barkley any credit for that, but it was a rough game for Josh Allen and the Bills offense. Not on the ground. They were running the ball great.
There were so many things that if the coin turned the other way, the Bills win that game. So many plays that could have gone the other way.
But that makes you more optimistic. That doesn't frustrate you, Mike. You're saying
that makes me very optimistic. You play him again. In previous years, you're like, yeah, we play him again 99 times out of 100. They're gonna win. This one's like the ball bounces another way. The ref actually sees that face mask.
Yeah.
Oh, they rule that interception an incompletion. Oh, it's so close. Oh, that pass interference call.
Man,
so many things.
I wish I'm like between you and John. I'm not super optimistic. I'm not super pessimistic. I don't know. We kind of counted this as a win.
Definitely way many things to be optimistic about. The bottom line is, though, they lost.
Yeah, this is definitely a learning game for Josh Allen. He's got a lot to come away with. Well, I mean, even if he plays in the next game or two after that concussion.
But John, we had 4 interceptions, right? 2 fumbles. And gave up 9 offensive points to the defending Super Bowl champs. Like, if there's anything to be said about moral victories, like, this was one. I think it puts the rest of the NFL on notice. Like, the Bills are for real, and that defense looks elite. The best defense I can ever remember Buffalo having since the Super Bowl years.
The Bills' defense is for real. The Bills' offense is a different story. They've had these mistakes all four games. Allen has made terrible decisions all four games. He's shown flashes of greatness, but he's made terrible decisions. The offensive line has been inconsistent all four games. They've been very poor at pass blocking against the Patriots. Way too many penalties. Zay Jones is dropping the ball. I mean,
don't get me started on Zay Jones. Why is he on the team?
I don't know.
The Zay Jones experiment should be over. This whole thing, like, he might be an okay player. He's done. He's dropping passes. He's not.
He does not come back for the ball.
Not come back for the ball. He's
not
even.
Not play defensive back on those on interceptions.
No, I don't understand why Andre Roberts is not taking over all of Zay Jones's reps at this point. He's a much better receiver. It's just, I don't, Dawson Knox, send him out instead of Zay Jones. I'm okay with, and Dawson Knox looks great, by the way. We'll get into him a little bit later, but almost any other wide receiver, it's like, you know,
it's got to be the sunk cost fallacy, right? The draft pick and how much you believed in him, what you've already put into him. Mm-hmm. It's got to be factoring into it, right? Has to be.
That's got to be it. It's got to, and John was mentioning it earlier over text that the Bills traded up for Zay Jones. So it's like they feel like they're even more indebted to him to keep him on the roster and try to keep developing him when he's clearly, it's not, this year is supposed, third year is supposed to be a breakout year for a wide receiver, and I have not seen anything to prove that. He drops pass after pass, and even though you're like, oh, you know, maybe that wasn't really catchable, it's like, what do you got to do? Hit the guy right in the hands every time? Like, shouldn't have to do that for a wide receiver. Like, make those catches, stop knocking them up into the air for the safety to catch, and, you know, try to defend, like you said, Mike, defend the ball against the safety when they're trying to intercept it. It's just, also,
in the process, like, why is he still on the team?
Yeah, it's like the same thing with Cody Ford playing right tackle. Like, why is Cody Ford playing right tackle anymore? He gets beat almost every time, it feels like, on a pass rush. Guys are always coming around the edge and trying to get Josh Allen. It's like Josh Allen has 2 seconds sometimes.
Yeah. The whole offensive line had no idea what the hell was going on when the Patriots were lining up to blitz every play. Like, I don't know why they didn't blitz more.
Yeah. No, they could just, they could get home with four. They just needed four defensive linemen to get to. To get to Josh Allen in just a couple seconds, then you have seven guys in coverage, and you're basically fine. You're fine there. So yeah, I mean, I shouldn't just put it on Cody Ford. Ty Nesecki on that last pass that by Matt Barkley where he got hit by Kyle Van Noy, like Ty Nesecki completely missed Kyle Van Noy. He tried to cover the guy on the inside who was being triple blocked and let the guy roam free and hit Matt Barkley in the arm, and that could have won the game. You know, like that, the Bills were driving. They were making progress, not to say that they would have scored a touchdown, but when you don't block your guy, it doesn't help. So, a lot of things to take on this. But, you know, okay, we're going to go into stats of the game in a little bit, but I'm not, it's funny, as bad as the offense was, they outgained the Patriots by a lot, by 150 yards. I'm going to throw that stat out there right now. 150 yards, the Bills offense outgained the Pats offense. That's crazy, right? Like, you would have never thought that. If I hadn't thrown that out there, you'd have been like, hey, the Bills' offense actually had more than 200 yards? They did. They had 375 yards of total offense. And
Well, I mean, 100-yard gain by Gore, right? Awesome. Frank the Tank. Frank Gore is amazing.
I agree there. 15,000 yards, right? Fourth player to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to the yardage totals, right? So, like, Josh Allen, he couldn't finish the game because they knocked him out, right? He had more passing yards than Brady, 153 to 150. I mean, Frank Gore, again, 100 yards. I think they should have ran it more with Gore. And I think that they, you know, Yeldon came on in the second half. Maybe they should have passed it to Yeldon more, passed it to Knox more. I think there was some adjustments made in the second half, but I think not enough on the offense.
Why didn't Yeldon hang on to that flea flicker? Oh,
that one was bad. Yeah,
because the pass wasn't where it should have been. Yeldon had his guy beat, and then, you know, John Brown kind of flipped it. He put too much loft on it. And the guy, the safety, could get his hand right in there. But, you know, a lot of those
was costly by Brown. And then Brown was so close to that touchdown.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of things in there. A lot,
I think, tied the game at that point. It was 10-16. I mean, he got stopped at the one.
And Josh Allen, in a lot of those interceptions, there were guys running wide open over the middle that he just didn't see or whatever. Like T.J. Yeldon, that's a perfect example, Mike. There was T.J. Yeldon. I remember seeing him running across the middle. And Dawson Knox, and, you know, just not necessarily Zay Jones deep, which, you know, maybe he thought it was John Brown, because why else would you throw to Zay Jones deep, right? it was a huge mistake.
I mean, at some point, they got to stop throwing it downfield against when it's not working, right? Like, you got to take what the defense gives you.
Why was Knox not more involved? He was like the MVP last game.
Well, you know, all these things are kind of...
And the one ball that got thrown to him, it was like a circus catch.
And he still came down with it.
Awesome.
Yep. Yeah, he's amazing. He's an amazing athlete. Great wide receiver, great blocker. He's a real deal so far in his rookie season. It's just...
He was falling back. Chung was right on him. Makes the grab. Play catch of the game.
Yeah.
Get him involved.
Yeah, you know, all of the things that I was really worried about seeing in Josh. So I remember, like, saying that Josh Allen was playing the worst we could have expected in the first half of that Jets game when he, like, had three turnovers. He had two picks and a fumble in the first half. And I was like, oh, man, this is, like, the worst we can see of Josh Allen. And I was like, well, I was wrong, because today was probably the worst Josh Allen we could have expected. I mean, he just wasn't hitting anyone. He was taking way too many hits, and I'm not even including the one that he got a concussion on. He was taking way too many hits. He was holding on to the ball way too long. He was throwing too many hero balls. And it was just like these things, they just add up after a while. You just keep throwing picks. You keep, and it's, he's throwing to these guys in double coverage.
The interceptions kill you, and they're obvious, but some of those sacks that he took would knock the Bills out of field goal range, right? And that takes the points off the board. And that would have tied the game at the end when all we would have needed was a field goal.
Yeah, that was frustrating. There's at least one or two sacks that he took like that just, yeah, just knocked him out of field goal range. The penalties on the offensive line didn't help either. Lee Smith is, they were all bad. I mean, I'm just pointing out Lee Smith, but they were all, what's that?
I think they had eight penalties. Four of them were Lee Smith.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on at that end of the ball. It should have been somewhat quiet for the Bills playing a new era field. I don't know how they're going to do on the road with that, but yeah, as far as plays go, I mean, we're not going to get into plays of the game yet, but I have to point out this game. How in the fourth quarter, when the Patriots were deep in their own end and it was like 3rd and 8 or something, and the Bills just were like bum rushed Tom Brady and he wasn't going to get a pass off, and he just kind of turned around and threw it into the ground. I'm like, how is that not pass interference? How is that not pass interference? He threw it right into the ground. There wasn't a receiver within 10 yards. And like he just basically like looked, turned around the corner, and then just like threw it down. Like, what? Do you guys remember that play?
Oh, and you mean intentional grounding?
Yeah. Yeah, you remember that intentional grounding play that wasn't called?
Well, which one? There's like 6 a game with Brady.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. What do you guys think about that hit on Josh Allen? Should that hit have been called a penalty, or was he a runner? Should it not have mattered?
Then knocked him out of the game?
The one that knocked him out of the game.
It was a penalty. It was just offsetting, right?
Yeah, it was a penalty. I guess I just wonder, because I thought, and I don't want to give any credit to the Patriots, because I think it was a dirty hit. I mean, the guy led with his helmet right into Josh Allen's helmet, which I still don't know if that is that still illegal? Like, even if you're a runner, even if you're a running back, you still can't do that?
Yeah, helmet to helmet is bad.
Okay, all right. Well, it was a dirty hit.
Well,
then
the fact that those penalties offset, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, like,
right.
A 10-yard
hole. Maybe that's a rule that needs to be reevaluated if they're so concerned with those types of penalties.
How about another one? Like, if you're playing dirty and you knock somebody out of the game, like, we have no idea how long Allen's going to be out. Hopefully he doesn't miss any more time, right? But it just seems unfair, dirty, so that player can continue to play while Allen can be out 6 weeks in concussion protocol. Who knows? Yeah. Like, if you are found responsible for a dirty hit like that, fined by the NFL, whatever, you should have to miss some time, too.
Maybe you miss the same amount of time that the other player misses.
I agree.
No, that's a good one.
I don't know if the NFL would ever do something like that, but you've got to... you're incentivized to play dirty with the way things are currently.
Yeah, what do you get, like a 20?
Like, the game dynamic completely changes when you knock out the other team's quarterback.
Yeah,
it's the most important position in sports.
Absolutely. What do you get, like a $25,000 fine or something like that? I mean, if you're about to hit a guy like Josh Allen and you know that he misses four games, you miss four games, you might not try to go right for his head. You might just try to wrap him up and tackle him like a normal person, you know, or whatever. Like, and I'm not talking even like
tackle. You didn't even need to go in there at all.
Yeah, he was being tackled, right? Now I'm just getting angry. Now you guys are just you're getting me all riled up over here. What about the so we were talking about moral victories earlier today, and I did a post on Twitter where basically I said, you know, is there such thing as a moral victory with a Bills loss? And this was like before the game even played. This was basically just when I knew the spread. I said, if the Bills keep the game close against the Pats, like quote unquote close against the Pats, which I basically meant within a touchdown, if they fight hard and they still lose, is that still a win for you on Sunday? And the Twitter poll had over 1,000 votes, and it was basically 57% said yes, and 43% said no. So it's funny because if you look at the comments, all the comments are like, oh, come on, you just go give trophies out for participating and, you know, all of that, you know, like you just can't, you know, a win is a win. You don't play for losses. There's no moral victories and stuff like that. So I guess I'm going to ask you guys that coming away from this game, do you see this as a moral victory for the Bills? Is this win a step in the right direction, or it doesn't matter? It's a loss. You're 3-1. It was against an AFC East division rival, and now they have the lead in the AFC East because of that game.
I would vote no. We already knew the defense was good, and we already knew the offense was inconsistent, so we didn't learn anything from that. I'd say...
Are you kidding? No. Yes, there is. John, beat up on the Jets and the Giants. We did not know how good the Bills were. We played the collective record, right? It was like 1-8. And it should have been 0-9 of the teams we played. Now we're playing the number one team in the NFL, defending Super Bowl champs, all-time great quarterback and coach, and played them down to the wire. And that's when everything went against us. We've talked about some of the ref calls. Our starting quarterback, our franchise quarterback, gets knocked out in the third quarter. We lost 4 interceptions. Like, absolutely, those players have to be galvanized a little bit. Like, we play this game again, we can take them. It's not like getting blown out and like, oh, there's the NFL's bifurcated, right? And like, oh, there's the elite teams and then there's us and we suck. No, it's like we're right there. Play them again, we got them.
Well, absolutely, we can definitely beat that team, but it just confirms that our defense is good, which is what we thought, and our offense is inconsistent, which is what we thought.
It was interesting to see how they were going to play against the Pats because we've only played bad teams. So how were they going to, get blown out by the Pats? Were they going to, you know, crush the Pats? We didn't think that, but how this game ended up was, it definitely, I think it says a lot about the team. We didn't know how good this team was or how bad it was. Basically, 3-0 is kind of deceiving. We've seen that with past teams and past seasons going 3-0 or 4-0, 5-1. Like, let's see how good this team is. And to Mike's point, we're right there. I mean, the Pats are the best team in the NFL. Like, there's nothing to say that the Bills couldn't possibly go into an AFC divisional game or an AFC conference, you know, a conference playoff game where they're pitted up against the Pats in the playoffs and possibly win this game if a few bounces go the right way. And if they learn how to play offense somehow and not turn the ball over 4 times, right?
The teams we've played, it was like, I think we lacked to have to come back in the end and win on the final seconds and claw. Like, I never got the sense that the Bills were for real until today. Like, I'm very optimistic moving forward. It's almost like, and boxing, right? Like, they moved up a weight class today to play the Pats, and they took them all the way to the end.
Yeah, I already knew the Bills were for real, so I was already past that point.
I don't know. I kind of take a little bit of a moral victory from this, and I was one of the few people, not the few, I was one of the majority that voted yes, just because, yeah, we're so used to this team, and it's proof that this is really Belichick's team now. I mean, not that Brady's in complete decline, but he is not the same quarterback that used to shred the Bills defense. And this Bills defense isn't the same defense that used to get shredded by the Patriots. I mean, this team could win. This team could win, you know, on another Sunday and another time. It just was an awful, and you know, everything that went wrong too wasn't enough for them to just completely get blown out. It was just barely lost. You know, had Corey Bohorquez, or had the Bills actually blocked the guy who ran in to block the punt on Corey Bohorquez, you know, maybe the Bills win this one, which is so frustrating to think about that a blown play on special teams is the difference in the outcome of the game, minus a bunch of other things. It's to me, that was the game right there, that blocked punt. And man, the special teams, special teams had a rough game. All right, so let's go into stats and numbers of the game. I always start off with a quiz for John and Mike. So I'm going to start off with first a stat of the game was Tom Brady's passer rating for today. His passer rating was 45.9. which was his lowest in 185 regular season games over 13 years since November 5th, 2006, in a loss versus Indianapolis. It is the sixth lowest passer rating of his entire career. That brought by Mark Gaughan. And, all right, so let's go stats of the game with you guys. All right. How many more yards passing did Josh Allen have than Matt Barkley? How many more passing yards?
John, you may go first.
Didn't you go first last time? Or didn't I go first last time?
Yeah, I think so. Mike, you're up.
25.
26.
27.
So the answer is 26 by Mike. Are you looking up the stats right now just so I can't?
No.
I don't think he knew it. I thought he Price is Right rules. He went one more than me.
Yeah, I picked one more than Mike. It was either one more or one less. I mean,
so does that bother you as far as Josh Allen? He had three quarters and a little bit of the fourth quarter, and he was only able to get 26 more yards passing than Matt Barkley had in the fourth quarter. I mean, I know a lot of the plays were scripted more towards passing in that fourth quarter because they were down and they needed to gain some yardage. But does that make you wonder if Matt Barkley should play next week? Even if Josh Allen is kind of iffy, you know what I mean? Like,
no, Josh Allen gives, I mean, obviously he made some bad decisions, but he gives the Bills something different that other quarterbacks wouldn't give them. Also, Josh Allen had more passing yards than Tom Brady. So what does that tell you?
I don't know, man. The last quarter, Matt Barkley looked way better than Josh Allen did all game. So I don't know if it was just a change in quarterback, and the fact that the Patriots were not prepared for Matt Barkley playing quarterback, so they didn't know, they weren't just defensively ready for it strategically. So I don't know.
I think the Bills had a balanced attack at that point, and by the end they were needing to get chunk yardage throwing the ball. They had pretty much given up on with the run at that point later in the game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Barkley had almost half the attempts passing as Josh Allen. It was only like 20 yards off from him passing yardage. I don't know. I really want, obviously, I'm not saying Matt Barkley should start over Josh Allen, but that's disconcerting to see that your backup was, and it only, it was, it's funny because in preseason, Matt Barkley looked pretty good. Of course, it was against second and third teamers. So you're like, well, what are you guys going to take from this? He's going to look a little bit better than Josh Allen some of this. Today, he looked a little bit better. I mean, that last interception, like I said, I wouldn't even put it on him. Guy was completely unblocked. So he might be that much closer to leading us to a touchdown drive and possibly winning the game the way that it was going. So I don't know. I mean, he did throw some uncatchable balls. I completely get that. It just, I'm not as worried with Matt Barkley being in there, I guess.
I think it speaks to they actually have depth at quarterback now.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Depth.
Last year, obviously, in a few games, too. I think, you know, I mean, when was the last time they had a capable backup, much less a capable starter?
Frank Reich, right?
Right.
It's been a while. John.
Right.
Yeah. So, like I mentioned earlier, Josh Allen, 13 for 28, 153 yards and three interceptions. Matt Barkley, 9 for 16, 127 yards in that last interception to seal the game. Frank Gore had 17 carries for 109 yards. Here's a quick quiz. What was the yards per carry for Frank Gore?
6.4.
6.4. Nice. Nice, John. Don't even bother, Mike. 6.4.
It's 109 over 15. You just said it.
Josh Allen, 5 for 26, one touchdown. Rushing the ball, Cole Beasley leads all receivers for the Bills, 7 receptions for 75 yards on 13 targets. John Brown, 5 receptions for 69 yards, 11 targets. Really, really rough catch rate for all these receivers. TJ Yeldon had 4 receptions for 68 yards on 4 targets. Dawson Knox, 3 receptions for 58 yards on 3 targets. How about this one? Here's a good one. Zay Jones. 2 receptions for 4 yards on 8 targets. I don't even know if that's a good game for Zay by Zay standards.
That was the first stat I looked up after the game. How many targets did Zay have compared to the receptions?
Oh, God. He was 3rd on the team with targets, and he was 7th on the team, 6th on the team in receiving yardage. That's insane.
He never has any yards after the catch. He always just falls down.
Yeah. Yeah, good call. I think he's only had, like, I want to say 1 or 2 good games in all 3 seasons. So, I don't know.
They need a true number one receiver. Like, if they had a true number one, and then John Brown is the 2, and then Beasley is a really great slot receiver, like, they'd be fine. But they don't have a number one.
Yeah, you know what my thought is on the number one wide receiver, though, is that there's so few of them, and those teams never seem to go anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, think about like Mike Evans. Who are your like number one wide receivers? AJ Green, Mike Evans, Julio Jones. Like, Julio Jones made it to the Super Bowl, but he's never won one, and they're not consistently in the playoffs even. Like, Odell Beckham Jr., what did he do with the Giants?
No, I mean, Michael Thomas with Drew Brees, they're always contending.
Yeah, but Drew Brees was great before. Drew Brees was like throwing for 5,000 yards before Michael Thomas was even on the team.
They have a number one receiver, though. He's the number one guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I just don't see, like, I mean, the Steelers had Antonio Brown for all those years. I mean, where did they go?
They've always been in the playoffs.
I mean, I guess. It just doesn't seem to be the thing that leads them over the hump, I guess. You would think, like, with a guy like that, there would be a Super Bowl contender every year with a guy like that. I mean, who the Rams didn't even have a number one wide receiver like that.
Look at it is, what are the Bills missing right now? Okay, so they could use some better offensive linemen maybe still.
Yep.
And then number one receiver. I mean, the defense looks good. They get running backs, assuming Singletary's healthy. I mean,
Is it okay for me to say that I love the way the defense is playing, that I'd like a little bit more pass rush? Like, just, I mean, today they looked pretty good, but I feel like in general this season they're just lacking a little bit more pressure than I thought they would get.
They're not getting the sacks, but I still think they're getting today I thought they got pressure even though they didn't get any sacks.
Yeah, Brady was pressured a lot. I mean, that offensive line is pretty ragged on their team with the injuries that they've taken, but I guess I was kind of hoping for, I mean, Brady's smart enough to not take sacks by, you know, throwing intentional grounding whenever he has to, so that helps. That helps when you circumvent the rules and you don't take sacks. On the Patriots side of the ball, stats of the day, 18 for 39 for Tom Brady, 150 yards and one interception. That key, huge interception by Micah Hyde. That was one of the best plays of the game. Sony Michel, leading rusher on the Patriots, 17 carries for 63 yards. 3.7 yards per carry average, which is a really great sign of how well the Bills played the run today. James White was leading receiver for the Patriots, 8 receptions for 57 yards. I mean, you know that's good. They locked down Josh Gordon, only 3 receptions for 46 yards on 7 targets. So really, I mean, the Bills had a great game defensively. I mean, I can't complain even about the pass rush just because of how well everything went. I just wish I saw a little bit more on the sack stat line. That's all. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. And after that, we'll go into our plays of the game and our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers. So stick around.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, welcome back to the Circling the Wagons podcast, our recap show. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm with my co-hosts, John and Mike. So let's talk about our plays of the game for today's game. Even though there was a loss, there were still some huge plays by Bills players. So the plays of the game are brought to you by our T Public store, which I know Bills fans are kind of down on the Bills a little bit, but, you know, hey, there's some cool Bills shirts out there that we have at our T Public store, our Josh Allen shirt, our Sean McDermott shirts. There's just a bunch of cool designs out there. So check that out at tpublic.com/stores/CTWpod. It was weird. You know, right before I got on, I saw that someone had bought the Josh Allen shirt, even after the Bills had lost. So maybe they're on a different time zone. Maybe they didn't get a chance to watch the game, but it was pretty funny. So again, check out that store, our tpublic.com. It's tpublic.com/stores/CTWpod. So, John, I want to give you first crack at play of the game. Your play of the game for the Buffalo Bills loss 16-10 against the Patriots.
Are we talking like play of the game in general, like turning point, or like does it have to be a positive play for the Bills?
Just a positive play for the Bills. I mean, since you know, we've been doing this. They were 3-0 up until now. So we usually use a play of the game as, you know, an important play or a play that really stood out to us. So for this one, there was no turning point of the game, really. So, and there kind of was. It's going to be the one I choose, but what do you got?
Yeah, I know I'm I had one in my back of my head, but I guess I'm forgetting
okay.
it.
All right, Mike, your turn.
Thinking of, but I could just go with the Micah Hyde interception.
Okay, that's a good one. The Micah Hyde interception, that was huge. It was huge.
Yeah. I mean, that's the play of the game for the Bills. The Pats are up 13-0 at that point. Brady's going in. It felt like put the nail in the coffin. Like it was going to be a real long day if the Pats convert that. And then not only to hold them for three, but for the Bills to get the takeaway. I thought that was huge momentum. Got the crowd back in it.
Yeah.
Energized the players and hard to overstate the importance of that one.
Yeah, that was definitely my play of the game too. It was just there were just a lot of really good plays in between there between Frank Gore's long runs. I mean, when Devin Singletary went out, I was really afraid that Frank Gore wouldn't be able to carry that load all by himself. But he looked a little bit like Devin Singletary, just making guys miss and finding huge gains. But yeah, Micah Hyde intercepting Brady in the end zone, like you said, to keep that game within reach. I mean, that was easily that was minus 7 points basically by the defense. You talked about the defense only allowing 9 points. Well, they just gained 7 points by that interception, in my opinion. So, that was the only play I could think of as well. So, all right, let's go into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers for today's game. Wall of Fame, I'll go first this time. And Mike, you're not going to like this because it's going to be such a broad stroke. But the defense, the Bills defense in general, whether it was the defense stepping up in coverage, the defense, I mean, Tremaine Edmonds doing a great job rifling through the offensive line to getting some tackles in the backfield or tipping passes in the over the slot. And the Bills defense just constantly keeping Brady on his toes. Great coverage in the secondary. I thought Levi Wallace had a great game. And the game plan in general by Leslie Frazier. I mean, this is a team that was completely blowing out other teams. I mean, bad teams. And the Bills defense kept them from doing that. Tom Brady looked pedestrian at best today, and it was all thanks to the Bills defense. So, Mike, I'll let you go next. Who is on your Wall of Fame for today's game?
Franklin Demetrius Gore, turning back the clock. He was a huge bright spot for the Bills, evading tacklers, right? I think he's still – I wish he was a little quicker finishing some of those runs. You can tell he's going to get run down by the corners and the safeties, but, man, he can power over people. It was just good to see him reach 15,000 yards in Bills uniform.
Yeah, he surpassed, so he's the fourth player in NFL history to get 15,000 career rushing yards, as John mentioned earlier. He's up to 252 rushing yards a season, and that total marks the most by a 36-plus-year-old player through four games in NFL history. So, yeah, that's a good one, Mike. You went government on him, all three, huh? All three names? I'm not even going to fact-check you. That's probably right. John, how about you? Who's on your wall of fame?
Well, this is tough. Nate, you mentioned the defense. They were outstanding. Allowed only 224 yards. Brady, 18 to 39, only 150 yards. He had a pick. The top running back, 63 yards, 3.7 average. Mike, you mentioned Frank Gore. He was on my list, too. 70 carries, 109 yards, 6.4, 6.5 yards per carry. 15,000 yard club. That's awesome. Just to be different, I'm going to go with that dude that managed to get married at a Bills game.
Yeah. Does that bode well for the future? If you lose during, does that matter? Does it matter for your marriage if you lose?
I don't know. I mean, apparently their first date was at a Bills game. They get engaged at a Bills game. So I don't know the results of those games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, who knows?
I was thinking about that because I was actually at a wedding today right before the beginning of the game. It was like a brunch wedding. Which, who has a wedding on a Sunday right during football season? But I was thinking about this, like, did they do a reception right after for that wedding at midfield? Like, did they go into like a box or a suite and just like, hey, you know, like cake and all that stuff, like all their family members? Or what happens? Or is there just no reception? I mean, I guess I wonder how that ends. If it's just like the two of them, like, okay, now we're going home. Or do they take their seats in the stands? What happens?
I don't know. I mean, I imagine they had like sideline passes or something, right? For that.
Mm-hmm.
They probably had like a reception after the game too. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, imagine if they did have sideline passes, how pissed they would be the day of their wedding after that game. It's like, you're supposed to walk away from your wedding like, oh man, like I know with my wedding, it was like, oh man, that was like a great time. It was a great party. I've never, you know, I saw everyone. I feel like I know all my close friends and family and you know, my wife's family, and it was just like, we played all, the DJ was great, you know, playing some great songs, had some wedding cake, you know, good food. And then it's like, well, I didn't get crushed because my team just lost right in front of me, though, either.
Right. But I mean, you know, when you get walked down the aisle by Jim Kelly and Cal Williams is officiating your ceremony, and I don't know.
That's true. Okay, fair enough. All right. Way to make my wedding sound like crap, John. All right. So that's a good one. I actually had like an honorable mention because Mike's guy right here, Dawson Knox. I thought he was, I don't think he was Wall of Fame contention like for today because he won it last week, and it just, he was important, but he wasn't, you know, the sole reason why they did as well as they did on offense. But he had a great game, can't go unnoticed. So Wall of Shamer for today's game. So I went first this time. Mike, how about I throw it over to you? Who do you have on your Wall of Shame for today's loss against the Patriots?
I think it's got to be Josh Allen, unfortunately. I hate to do it to him. Still learning, but with three picks, you just can't do that and expect to win. I love how the Bills were still in it, but, geez, he also had the fumble. That were lucky to be recovered by the Bills. Just poor decision-making.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. That's a very good one. It's an obvious one where, yeah, he was the reason why. John, what about you? Does he make your Wall of Shame too, or you got someone else?
Man, there's so many choices. I mean, you could say Dable, just because, you know, he made some adjustments, but there wasn't enough. I will say that, you know, the Bills, their touchdown against the Patriots was the first offensive touchdown the Patriots have allowed this year. So that's something, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
The timeouts, like the time management and the last half was terrible. Like, they started the fourth quarter with basically no timeouts left. They had to take a delay of game penalty at one point because of it.
Yeah.
The refs were terrible. We already talked about Zay Jones. It comes down to two things for me. I mean, one was the offensive line. Pass blocking, terrible. Penalties are bad. But I got to go with Mike on Josh Allen. Too many mistakes. He's trying to play hero ball. He just needs to learn to take what the defense is giving him. Like, even in the second half, he was throwing like a long pick, just throwing it up for grabs, taking too many sacks. I mean, when the line does hold up, he holds onto the ball too long. One of you guys mentioned earlier that, you know, I think it was late in this first half, he took a sack, brought him out of field goal range. They could have had a field goal where later on they could have kicked a field goal. So yeah, I got to go with Allen. And it's funny too, because like, you know, Barkley came in and okay, there's a little bit of a spark, but like I was texting you guys, like, it was like one of the last drives. I'm like, Allen would be great right now because if he could get back in, just because he adds that dimension. I mean, he's had like four or five comebacks in his 14 starts. So like, there's definitely something there that he adds. He just can't make those mistakes.
You know, we said this last week in the game against the Bengals, where there were some costly mistakes by the Bills offense. And we said, you know, you can't do that next week and win against the Patriots, and that's exactly what happened this week. They made those mistakes even more so, and they didn't win, and we knew that was going to happen. You can't do that to a Bill Belichick-led team. So, and I think this is going to be a learning experience for him. Obviously, you know, we as a podcast aren't ready to write him off or anything. I don't think Bills fans should. I think that it was just a rough game against a very good defense, against a very well-coached team. Bill Belichick usually eats, you know, young quarterbacks like Josh Allen for breakfast. So that should be understood that that was probably a possibility. I'm actually going to give my wall of shame to the special teams. I mean, Corey, they were just bad. They were bad all around. I don't even want to put it completely on Corey Bohorquez, because that blocked punt wasn't his fault. The guy who blocked it was not even touched by, it's like the Bills weren't ready for that. There was a guy who should have been covering the gunner for the Bills, and he just lined up right on the line of scrimmage. And it's like, well, that's a guy that's not accounted for by the offensive line. And I watched that play a few times just to see who was at fault. And yeah, it definitely wasn't called right. They weren't audibled out of it. The guy who was the gunner didn't know he should go back into the line of scrimmage. It was just poor. And that to me was the play, the turning point of the game. And that's what cost the Bills the game. And then not only that, it was Hauschka missed a field goal. Bohorquez punted a 21-yarder later in the game for some reason. He did that a few times where it was just like, what are you doing? Why are you that worried that you're going to get blocked, that you're just pooching it? I don't get it. It was very frustrating as a fan to see the special teams. I mean, this felt like a Danny Crossman team on special teams. It was just very undisciplined, and they just weren't ready for it. The Bills, as much as, and I know Andre Roberts has been injured, but the Bills have shown little to no improvement in punt returns and kick returns over last year. I mean, they just don't seem to be getting a lot more improvement than they had last year. I mean, Zay Jones, I mean, if we're going to go in more wall of shame, Zay Jones, I mean, just a terrible day. McDermott challenges, John, you touched on that. He was 0 for 2 today. And he's 0 for 3 in the season. He's 1 for 12 in his career as a Bills head coach. I mean, the guy is he needs better advice for people telling him how to challenge game or when to challenge them or whatever. I mean, these refs, you want to challenge pass interference, you can't do it when they didn't call it, because very few times statistically are they going to go against that. Because then that's basically admitting that they didn't catch it in the first place, right? So they're not going to give it to you. So I appreciate him going for that on that rub play, but it just the statistics just aren't there for it to be overturned. So the refs were awful today. Like I said, you know, mentioned earlier that blatant intentional grounding call. They picked up the flags way too many times on calls that should have been made. And then speaking of penalties, the Bills offensive line, we went into that earlier. So, all right, let's go to Twitter for who you think should be on the Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame for today's Bills loss. Mike Taylor, our guy Mike Taylor, says Wall of Fame, defense, and Frank Gore. Wall of Shame, the offense minus Frank Gore. most likely to be immortalized in bronze, Toss and Knox, and Guy we're going to have to give a conciliatory cup to Matt Barkley. And the moral of the day is throwing off your back foot is a terrible idea. So stop it. That's a fair assumption. I would say though that sometimes they don't even have a chance to throw off their back or throw off their front foot because there's a guy right in their face. So, but I get what Mike's saying. Great input from Mike. Fluent in sarcasm is in again. I didn't get to watch the game. Kind of glad. So from the highlights only, I'll keep it simple. Wall of Fame defense, outstanding. They held a team averaging 35 points to 16. Brady averaging 303 yards, held to 150, and averaged 97 yards rushing as a team, down to 74 today. Wall of Shame is the offense. I can't point anyone or anything else specifically from highlights only besides Allen. He needs to be careful with the ball. He holds on to it too long on some plays, and good defenses will make you pay, and they did with three interceptions, and he stated it great. That's exactly what the Patriots will do, especially because of how good their defense has been this season and even going into the end of last season. Thomas Durlach writes, Wall of Fame. Leslie Frazier, Wall of Shame. Lee Smith, so the defensive coordinator winning the Wall of Fame on that one, which I got to agree with. I really like the game plan he dialed up today against Tom Brady. And Lee Smith, man, you got those penalties are costly. Mike Potts Mike Potts writes in Wall of Fame the defense, Wall of Shame Allen, and Brian Daboll. And so I would say I didn't like the way that Daboll called the offense as far as not running the ball more, but I mean as an offense they definitely gained enough yardage to win the game with 375. Mark Zeminski writes the Wall of Shame is the offensive line and special teams. The offensive line being manhandled today. Which is, I know that the Bills' offensive line is better than it was last year. And last year it was almost historically bad. And the offensive line this year is better than that offensive line. But I think it's all relative. I think that they're according to at least Pro Football Focus, I believe they're ranked 21st. It was either 18th or 21st in the league. So they're just below average based on Pro Football Focus. So you kind of saw this today. You've kind of seen in the last few weeks that especially when it comes to pass protection, they just can't protect Josh Allen or Matt Barkley in this case. Steven Ujvari Jr. writes, the Wall of Fame goes to Frank Gore and the entire defense. The Wall of Shame goes to Josh Allen and special teams coaching. A lot of Josh Allen in the Wall of Shame today, too. Adam Talmadge writes, Wall of Fame, the defense held Brady to 150 yards and one interception, kept the game within reach, and the running backs with Gore with 15,000 yards and 109 yards on the day, and a bounce-back game for Yeldon, except for blocking on the Barkley interception, which I don't know if I'd put that on Yeldon. I looked at it over again. It looked like it was Ty Nsekhe, but, I mean, TJ Yeldon was double-blocking a guy, too, in the middle when maybe he should have been going the outside. So I definitely see what he's saying here. Wall of Shame today goes to Josh Allen, Zay Jones, Brian Daboll, all predictable in their mistakes, especially with Zay Jones. I mean, Josh Allen's been making mistakes all season too. So, Devin Brown writes, Wall of Fame is for the defense and the Wall of Shame is for Josh Allen. Sean J. Thiel writes, pretty obviously, Hyde, Poyer, and Edmonds all played at an all-pro level, and Zay Jones and Allen, Josh Allen, were at career lows. The horrible showing on the offense today, feed Knox and Gore a little more, and we can do something. Bench number 11 now. I couldn't agree more with that. I mean, Zay Jones needs to have his snaps. I think he's only like 40% for all snaps. He needs to be down to like 10 or 15% and only on run plays because run blocking seems to be the only thing that he's doing well right now. Our friend Nick Bat from the Nick and Nolan show came in. Nick writes, Wall of Shame is Lee Smith scared of the phalluses. And all kinds of penalties as a result. Cody Ford is a bad tackle. The officials who didn't eject the player who killed Allen were on his Wall of Shame. I agree with that one. And Zay Jones for all the drops. And the Wall of Fame goes to the defense and Ciaran Neal and Trey Edmonds, which I'm sure Nick and Nolan are going to talk a lot more about this week. So look forward to hearing that and a lot of their interesting takes on today's game. The real underdog, my man, the real underdog. The Wall of Shame goes to the refs on that intentional grounding, or lack of intentional grounding, as it came in. Wall of Shame, Deion Dawkins had, this is from In Like Flynn. The Wall of Shame goes to Deion Dawkins, had two holding calls that negated Patriots penalties that would have given the Bills first downs. That's a good call there. Wall of Shame also. Coaching for awful decisions regarding challenges, the misuse of timeouts, and the play call on fourth and goal. Eric Harris writes, Allen is to blame for the loss with a good assist by Zay Jones, but Allen has an upside in a future. Zay Jones is worse than worthless. He's a liability. That's very well put by Eric Harris. And a lot of the people have been going after Josh Allen and Zay Jones. And I do agree, though, at least, you know, Josh Allen, you can see the potential that he has. And Zay Jones, I don't know if he ever has had it or if he's ever going to have it at this point. I mean, geez, how many more years do we have to wait for this guy before, you know, he's actually going to produce at the level that we drafted him at? Our man Jason Statham writes, Wall of Fame, the defense without a doubt, Wall of Shame, this is a penalty machine, Lee Smith. Tyler Durden writes right after, Lee Smith with the three false starts. He's like, dude, you're in the bleeping huddle. Figure it out. Oh, man. Lisa Marinucci writes, giving Wall of Shame to Josh Allen because he can't make those mistakes every week. We have squeezed by three of them. Wall of, and the defense gets her vote for Wall of Fame for that one. TV Nerd comes in. Longtime listener, TV Nerd. Wall of Fame, she says, defense all the way. Wall of Shame, Zay Jones, a.k.a. Benjamin 2.0. That's awesome. Kelvin Benjamin 2.0. He's not one Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end. So we'll give Zay Jones his credit for being in shape, but yeah, just drops everything. She gives a bonus Wall of Shame to the CBS commentators. I'm not going to say this, but she's basically like, please more of Tom Brady while you're talking about him, won't you please? Michael C. writes in, Wall of Fame, the defense, and Frank Gore. Just two of the really great points of today was the Bills' amazing elite, almost elite. They could have been elite today, really. And the play of Frank Gore, 36-year-old Frank Gore, just looking like he's 26. And Wall of Shame, Zay Jones and the play calling. And then You're What Hurts, right? Blocking for punts was the worst. Without that turnover, the Bills win. Completely agree with that. An Attractive Nuisance writes, Matt Barkley is on the Wall of Fame. He made some great long passes that Allen didn't. As much as I love Allen, he's young and he's still playing hero ball. Allen has to be my Wall of Shame. Too many long passes that ended in interceptions, and I hate to say it, but here we are. And that's a great point as far as, you know, it's funny, it was almost the exact opposite. You had Josh Allen throwing very high balls that were easily intercepted, whereas Matt Barkley was throwing the lower balls, where if the guys didn't catch them, then at least they were hitting the ground and going incomplete. Great point by Attractive Nuisance. So thank you guys all for all of your Twitter input. There were a lot of other great tweets, but come tweet at us next week. I'm going to post a question again and let us know what you guys thought, who was on the Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame. It was a rough game. Obviously, lots of people could go on the Wall of Shame today. But, you know, on the bright side of things, you know, Mike, you mentioned earlier, you know, this still counts as a loss, but, you know, we can run with a team like this, the team that may be the best team in the entire league. The Bills do a few things different. Josh Allen grows a little bit from last, you know, from this game to next game into the playoffs. And all of a sudden you're talking a team that can potentially, you know, with an average offense. I don't even want to say average offense. They had 375 total yards of offense compared to 225 on the other side. They just have to limit those turnovers. That's all. And obviously the dumb penalties and dumb challenges and everything. Special teams. Just those 10 things and they'll be ready to beat the Patriots. So if yeah. You... Go ahead, John.
Yeah, sorry. So, I mean, one other thing I want to note is, I mean, so we're through week four here and the Bills are one of three AFC teams with a winning record. So, I mean, obviously, like, so the whole, you know, winning the division thing is, you know, all right, whatever. But like, they're in prime position to get one of the top wild card spots and possibly even a wild card home game.
That's great. That's a great point, especially with the fact that the AFC just keeps beating each other up. Like, the Ravens lost today against the Cleveland Browns pretty handily. I believe it was in Baltimore, too. So this conference is up for grab, man. Up for grabs. And it has been ever since Andrew Luck retired after Big Ben went down with an injury. And you just don't know. So, yeah, good call. I don't think – I will say, John, not to correct you, but I don't think you can get a home game as a wild card. I believe only division winners get home games. Even if you're 7-9 and the wild card team is 11-5, you still get the home game as a 7-9 team.
Right. Yeah, so like a division winner would be playing wild card weekend, but they would get the home game. You're right. Yep.
Yeah, but you know, and the other reason why this game sucks to lose is because in order to the first tiebreaker for a division record, if you have the same division or the same record, to win the division is your head-to-head play. So the Bills lost this one. Hopefully they can win the next one and split it. And that way, when they're both 12-4 or 11-5 or whatever, you know, they can pull out the division. So great. We appreciate all of you guys listening today. Please subscribe, rate, and review us. We have a ton of great podcasts on this podcast network, you know, including, you know, Rumblings Q&A, Breaking Buffalo Rumblings, Blitzed Bills, The Nick and Nolan Show, Believe, and The Mafia Mavens. So we've got you covered all week long. So they're going to talk about everything that we talked about and more, everything, anything that we might have missed, and get you ready for next week's game against the Tennessee Titans. And yeah, so it's been great talking to you guys. So signing off for John.
Tom Brady eats chicken wings with ranch dressing.
From Mike.
The future is bright. Put the rest of the NFL on notice. Good game for the Bills.
And for me, Nate, 3-1 isn't the end of the world. Let's hope we can go 4-1 next week after a win against the Titans and to go into the bye in week 6. So we'll talk to you guys again next week. Go Bills!
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.